Welcome to the Curious Women Podcast. I'm your host, Kylie Fignano, and I'm here with my co-host, Meg Hager. Here, we're going to have chats about women's health to teach you the things that you didn't know you didn't know.
I'm so excited! I can't wait. Guys, we are here with mine and Kylie, somebody that Kylie and pretty sure idolize is a good word, and have for quite a few years, Miss Lacey Dunn. And we are so excited to talk to her, mainly about thyroid health, but wherever else the conversation takes us is fine with us. And so, Lacey, thank you so much for being here. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about you and the work that you do?
Well, first off, I'm so excited to be here, and thank you so much. I feel really honored. You guys are like, idolized. Don't idolize me. I feel like I'm a normal, crazy human, but thank you so much for having me on. You guys, my name is Lacey Dunn. I am a functional medicine dietitian, and basically what I do is I help women to reclaim their hormones and their health and become the boss of their own bodies. So I do a lot of different things, and I dabble my toes in a lot of different waters, but my favorite things to help with are thyroid imbalances, hormonal disorders, PCOS, gut infection, SIBO, candida, basically everything. And now it's like, oh, I love mold. I love heavy metals. Like, what do I not love? You guys, I'm a nerd. So my name is Lacey Dunn. I am a functional medicine dietitian who tries to do it all.
I think that's a great nerd. Yeah, no, I think that's such a great, what's funny, Lacey, is before we jumped on with you, I was telling Kylie this story. I was telling my husband that we were interviewing you. So I was just telling him like why it's significant to us that we are having you on today. And I was like, honestly, I got to check my notes. I don't even remember what we're interviewing her about. It could be anything. It could be thyroid. It could be PCOS. It could have been anything.
That's funny. I was like just questioning. I looked an hour ago. I was like, what are we talking about? And I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm excited.
It doesn't matter. That's what it is. I know. That's how we roll here, though. Mm-hmm. We start with a well-intended plan, and it ends up just going where we get pulled into. And I think that's I think that's a reflection of a lot. Actually, I think it's a reflection of a lot. So
yeah, I agree.
Where should we even start, Meg? Let me ask you first, Meg, what do you got going on over there? What you drinking?
So in honor of having Lacey on, I've got quite a few things. I have a lot going on over here as well. I've got a smorgasbord of drinks, of beverages, if you will. And I also, just for a little bit of energy, I was drinking my coffee earlier and I didn't finish it. So I turned it into an iced coffee and I added, thinking of you, Kylie, I added in some of the Four Sigmatic. This one is the chill. It's the oh my gosh, what's
the
it called?
Reishi. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know it. It's so good.
Kind of like does not sensical to mix that with caffeinated coffee, but that's what we did today. That's what we're doing. It's fine.
Counterbalance it. Maybe.
Exactly. Lacey, are you doing anything fun? Do you got anything over there?
They're not gonna
sit by your feet.
No, they won't. They will wanna join in the action. But so Kylie, what are you drinking over there?
What's
gorgeous your smorgasbord?
I've got my water that I've been milking all day. I'm drinking my greens, my athletic greens that I love. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. Brian and I just went on a long walk. Because it's gorgeous in DC today. It's so, oh my God, it's so beautiful. The cherry blossoms are near. I can't wait. And we went to our favorite little coffee shop. They have an almond butter latte. Mm-hmm. Almond butter latte. It doesn't make you sick. I don't get a headache. It doesn't taste like sweet. You know what I mean? That awful feeling. I know.
Oh my God.
It's such a treat. So that's good. That's what's going on over here.
That sounds like a treat. I cannot wait. Wait, so do they actually put almond butter in it?
They make their own syrup with almond butter. And that's why it doesn't get me sick, because it's got its own, like they make it with real things. Mm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Gosh. I know. What a concept. actual real food, guys, right?
Lacey, have you heard of this almond butter?
No,
coffee?
I'm just sitting here thinking, wow, I'm lame. I don't even have water with me. Like, what is going on?
You know, no. I have to say, I've been lucky the last couple of recordings that I just happened to have gone for a walk and gotten coffee on our walk. Otherwise, I would be like, in out water, guys.
No, but guys, let's not underestimate water and how lovely it is. It's just, I'll tell you, drinks get me through my day. Like, that is
no, they really do. I'm always drinking. I don't know if you guys tried that Ultima, the electrolyte blend.
No, but I've been looking for a new electrolyte blend.
Lemonade. I freaking love it. So, like, I look forward to it, and I put it in between, like, client sessions. And, like, if I can get through this session, I get my Ultima powder.
That's how I feel, too.
I've been doing that, Lacey. I've been doing that with my elderberry gummies.
Oh my god,
they're so ridiculous. I don't even know how concentrated the elderberry is in it.
So,
oh my god.
So Lacey, we have another little topic here that we sort of dive into before we get into the actual interview part, and it's called health what the fuck moments. And essentially this is just a brief moment, if you want to share, of a client or something you've experienced yourself, or even something that you've heard that's health related that just sort of makes you go, what the fuck, like at the end of it. And as far as if it's, you know, a lot of times our topics of conversation are things regarding like the differences between conventional and functional medicine, or an experience a client has had, or I've shared quite a few of my own because I feel like my whole life is sort of a giant health what the fuck moment at times. So is there any that come to mind that you want to share to start us off?
I would say the most frequent thing is when a client comes to me and it's like they come in, they have a GI map and it shows a parasite like Giardia, and I give them the option. I tell them, okay, this is what this means. This is what it's doing in your body. You can go down the route of antimicrobials or antibiotics, and they choose, okay, hey, I want to go do antibiotics. So then they go to their doctor and their doctor's like, this test means nothing. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, no. I'm like, and they're just like, oh, that's a normal thing to have in your body. It's not normal to have Giardia in your body.
No for Giardia.
It is not normal, no. So for our listeners, we've talked about this topic before. Kylie and I happen to use this, and Lacey, you do as well, the GI map test. It's a functional stool test, and it causes some problems, as we've talked about, when we find things on it. And then I think there, if you don't use the GI map, sometimes people who are not trained on how to use it just don't really know what to do with it. So anyway, just your quick little reminder that if you find something like Giardia on your GI map, it does mean something. It is important.
Especially when you feel like shit. Like,
Yeah,
I'm gonna throw mine out there next night. Yeah, that's okay, because it goes off of it.
Yeah,
and I know, Lacey, that you have used this as well. I chose last month to do a parasite kit, Cellcore's para kit. I just started slow. I did the 3-day. Oh boy.
Whoa.
Oh, the things that passed.
Oh my god.
I did it, and Brian did it with me, and he was. I mean, for me, I'm like, yeah, I know what's going on. It is what it is. Like, I won't be surprised with anything. You know, whatever. He was like, Kylie, what is all of that white stuff? I was like, well, this is why I thought it would be good for you to do this, kid. This is my point exactly. But it was wild. It wasn't wild. I knew that I had something to get out of my system. But Lacey, you've had an experience with that, haven't you?
In regards to being dismissed by doctors?
In regards to parasites and passing them.
Mm, yeah. Lovely. You can't forget that, like PTSD scenario. Yeah, I didn't expect that at all. And then all of a sudden I was like, what is happening?
Yep. It was definitely, I wasn't surprised, but it's a very specific visual, isn't it? That's all I'll say.
You guys didn't opt to do the papaya seeds that's trending on TikTok right now?
Oh, God. I don't know what this is. No. Papaya seeds? I've heard pumpkin seeds.
No, it was a trend on TikTok for a little bit that people were just eating papaya seeds to help pass parasites.
That's weird. I'm going to stick to the cleaning hacks that I see.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick to those.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to stick to, like, cake decorating videos. That's what
I'm... Yeah. So what's funny, it's funny, Lacey, that you shared this about Giardia, because actually my health what the fuck moment is also this week about Giardia and parasites. So it's funny that we're all really like in sync. Yeah. I'm working with a client, and this happened a while ago, but I was just thinking about it today, and that we did a GI map and before I get there, we were addressing, obviously I work with clients who struggle with acne. So this person, her main concern was acne. And there was a lot of digestive symptoms that are very vague. Lacey, I'm sure you see this a lot in your practice, like, you know, constipation, diarrhea, like all kinds of bloating, all the things. And I wasn't suspecting a parasite. But when we did the GI map, we found Giardia. And I'm like, where could this Giardia have come from? Because this client lives very much, probably one of the, for lack of a better word, like most clean is not the word that I want to use, but like just, she's very conscious of, like, you know, what she puts in her body. And we know that Giardia can sort of come from anywhere, but it was weird at this point in the year during the winter, like she's not out in the woods and the water, like that kind of stuff. So it was really weird. I'm like, where could this have been coming from? And then she mentioned to me that now, while the intentions were great, she has a local farm that she works with and gets cheese from there, but it's raw cheese, not pasteurized. So I thought that maybe that's where it would be coming from. So it's just a gentle reminder. I don't think to our listeners that I don't think necessarily that you can't eat raw things if that's what feels good to you, but just a reminder that if it's not pasteurized, that could be where some of these parasites might be coming from. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So just remember, pasteurize if you can, if you are struggling with digestive issues, I feel. Anyway, that's my own interpretation.
Cooked, that's if so anything, crazy. Too.
Yeah. Yeah. Cooked exactly. Foods are better. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So let's dive in. I'm so excited to talk about thyroid health. And so just kind of going based off of, we can start with our health what the fuck moments, if just as a nice segue. Lacey, have you had any situations where you've connected thyroid issues to, we know that thyroid and gut stuff all kind of go in hand, but can you kind of explain to our listeners, is that something you see in practice, and what the connection is there, if any?
Yeah. So when we're talking specifically about parasites, I mean, parasites do multiple things in the body. We're looking at, of course, nutrient depletion, stealing away our nutrients, causing intestinal inflammation, hormonal imbalances, chronic stress to the body, which can lead to cortisol imbalances. And then we know they in itself can cause immune system issues, infections, and inflammation. I see a lot of times with parasites that they cause organ-based issues like digestive organ distress, but then that filters down into other sex hormone imbalances, cortisol imbalances, and then other things that are really random like anxiety, depression, rashes, eczema, acne, hives, you name it, or insomnia, like random things, low mood, low motivation, low libido. They could do anything and everything. It's because it's a chronic stressor to the body. And when the body says, hey, there's a demon inside of me, the first thing it wants to do is shut down all of its bodily functions and preserve energy. It says, and I call it the zombie apocalypse mode. It says, I need to preserve myself.
Yeah. I love that zombie apocalypse mode. That's so funny.
And with the thyroid, I mean, that in itself, having the presence of a parasite, for the most part, causes or can induce a hypothyroid state, whether that's because of the nutrients that are depleted from the parasite, or the inflammation, or the liver detoxification issues. You have lack of T4 to T3 conversion that'll happen with a parasite. Funny thing, they're not just in your gut, they can go up in your liver. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different things. And it's a Hashimoto trigger, autoimmune trigger.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned T3 to T4. Okay, so let's do a quick review
what
here.
What the thyroid is.
Exactly, yeah. Lacey, yeah. Exactly. So this, you guys, we're talking about the thyroid. So Lacey, yes. Can you tell us what is the thyroid? What is it responsible for? And can you please explain why TSH is an inadequate lab to get in order to really understand what's going on and what we should be asking for and why it's important, because everybody will tell us the same thing, right? Yeah, I've had my thyroid checked. It's fine. But that often means, and those of you out there who have had this, you're going to say, oh, yes, that's me. You get your TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, and that's it. And if it's, quote, in range, which is an arguable range, Lacey, right? Then, you know, there's no reason for people to look for, to look into it anymore. So Lacey, start by explaining to us, this is what the thyroid is, this is why it's important, and then explain these damn labs to us.
I got you. So just like the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, please know the thyroid is actually the powerhouse of your metabolism, as well as your mitochondria. Different story there, but it plays a big role when we're talking about your metabolism. So whether you're gaining weight, you're losing weight, your energy levels, your heart rate, your blood pressure, your body temperature, your appetite, your cholesterol, lipid metabolism, you name it, the thyroid is literally in charge of every single cellular function, whether it's going to be upregulated or downregulated in your body. So if you want to optimize your overall bodily function, you want to optimize your thyroid. And when it comes down to your thyroid, any imbalance in your thyroid can filter down into an imbalance in your gut, in your hormones, in your cortisol, you name it. So we want to really make sure that we have a healthy thyroid. Now, the thyroid produces several different types of thyroid hormones. So this is the importance of why you're talking about TSH, because our thyroid produces basically T1, T2, T3, T4, and calcitonin. So we're making T4 for the most part. That's about 80 to 90% of your thyroid production. And then we're making T3, which is more about like 7 to 15, 20% of your thyroid production. T4 has to convert over to T3 in order for the work to happen in your body. So T4 is inactive, and you have to have T4 to activate to T3 to do the work. So those are our main two. T4 and T3. And we want to, when we do lab tests, we want to assess the free T4 and the free T3, because that's what's telling me what is bioavailable, able to be used. And I know Kylie had mentioned, okay, TSH. So TSH is not produced by your thyroid. TSH is actually thyrotropin stimulating hormone. It's a hormone produced by your pituitary that tells your body to produce more or less thyroid hormone. And I think of it kind of like a metabolic thermostat. So our brain and our pituitary, they communicate to our thyroid to tell it if there's too much or too little thyroid hormone. So typically what's supposed to happen, and this is the importance why Kylie said it, what's supposed to happen is if you have low thyroid hormone, TSH is supposed to go up. That's your pituitary telling your thyroid, hey girl, I need more thyroid hormone.
Right.
And if you have too much T4 or T3, your TSH is supposed to drop down, saying, hey, guess what? I got too much thyroid hormone, don't make any more. But that communication doesn't always happen. There can be abnormalities in your pituitary connection, or even TRH, which is another another pituitary hormone, or cortisol dysregulation that can cause that communication feedback loop to not be optimized and optimal. So that's why we want to make sure, because that TSH, that's just the communication. That's not telling you actually how much active hormone is bioavailable and able to be used. So if you're just checking TSH and it's 2.5, quote unquote, within the normal range, but you're not checking a free T3 that might be actually low, you're missing a huge part of the story and missing a hypothyroidism.
Right. Okay.
And can you just,
and that's not even all the things you need to assess.
Right.
Can you just briefly explain to our listeners what hypo and hyperthyroid means, and maybe throw in Hashimoto's?
So hypothyroidism, hypo, you have too little thyroid hormone. So that's decreased activity of your thyroid gland.
So it's low thyroid.
Hyper is having increased thyroid. So too much activity in your thyroid gland. Mm-hmm. So we can have hypothyroidism, so too little, hyperthyroidism, too much. And then we can have other situations here like Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune form of hypothyroidism. So that's decreased activity of your thyroid due to autoimmune attack, in which when you see that issue, then you see the presence of thyroid antibodies. So TPO and TGAB antibodies, which are very important, because when you have those antibodies present, you're having continuous autoimmune attack of your thyroid. Say that you did your antibodies and things looked high, but your thyroid is normal, quote unquote, within range, if those antibodies remain elevated over time, you're going to become hypothyroid because they're going to continuously destruct your thyroid gland.
And so you'll never
that's the importance of the full panel.
Yeah. Yep. Totally.
Yeah. So many people don't know.
Could you just walk? So we've gone over a lot of hormones and what they mean. So in your world, what is an ideal thyroid panel? What tests should we be asking our doctors for?
That has significantly evolved over time. Because now I refuse to do panels without also looking at nutrients, because I just kid you not, I refuse to not see the full entire clinical picture. So for me, a full quote unquote thyroid panel, it involves, if we're just talking thyroid basic stuff, I'm checking TSH, free T3, free T4, and I want to see TPO and TGAB antibodies. That's just like a picture perfect thyroid only base panel.
Okay.
But if I want to add more to the story, I'm adding in the nutrients, I'm adding in cortisol-based testing, hormonal-based testing, even sex hormone-binding globulin, even thyroid-binding globulin if I can.
Mm-hmm. And are there nutrients that you tend to focus the most on that you look for when you're evaluating the thyroid?
Vitamin A, all your B vitamins, vitamin E, zinc, selenium, magnesium. I'm trying to do as much of a comprehensive panel as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's just so far what we've talked about for our listeners is the main message that we've gotten so far is that your TSH is not enough to fully assess your thyroid health. If you want a full, just basic thyroid panel, Lacey has told us that the TSH, which is the thing that is already being done most of the time by the doctors, but you also want your two thyroid hormones, the free versions, and you also want your thyroid antibodies. There's two of them. So really there's five things I think I heard, right, Lacey, for just the basic thyroid panel?
Yes, that would be for the basic thyroid panel.
Yeah, yeah. But as Lacey's mentioned, making sure your and this is part of the reason I personally love being a dietitian is because we now know how, not now, but like we've known, but like I think the research is maybe finally catching up a little bit about how important your nutrients are. So you had given us a whole laundry list of nutrients that are really important, and that is amazing.
And I've got, I mean, even more, because there's some nutrients that play a big role with creating thyroid hormone. There's some nutrients that play a role with how your thyroid is going to convert thyroid hormone. And then there's nutrients that play a role with the cellular absorption of thyroid hormone.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole lot that goes into it, for sure. And so, Kylie, you look like you have a question. I'm going to keep going if you don't jump in. So.
No, I think that now that everybody is thoroughly overwhelmed with how much you know that you didn't know, which is the point here.
Yep.
Lacey, bring us full circle here. So let's paint a picture. Let's paint the full start to finish picture. And I'm going to share my personal experience, ask you to tell us what is it that you're seeing too. So I want to go over for people, what are some of the physical signs?
So sorry.
Or symptoms. Okay. And by then I was so sick. Like I was passing out. I was shaking. I had zero energy. I couldn't walk up the stairs. It was awful, 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 awful. And so Lacey, go over for us. What might somebody be feeling if they have some sort of issue with their thyroid? And what are the things that they can do for themselves if their doctors are not in favor of doing some of these things that we're talking about? What can they actually do? And what have you seen in your experience that change actually look like for people? Because there's going to be somebody listening like, well, this is me exactly. I feel all of these things, but now I don't really know what to do because my doctor won't run this panel and I don't really feel comfortable asking for it. Or, you know, there's so many different scenarios, and we want to leave people with like, this is the thing that you can consider doing. What is that for people? How do we give people a little empowerment and encouragement? Like, there's a way here. There's a way.
I absolutely love that you shared your symptoms, because honestly, a lot of those sound familiar and ring true for hypothyroidism. The biggest symptoms when people say, oh my gosh, I'm hypothyroid, they typically run to weight gain, but weight loss can happen. Muscle loss can happen. So I look at weight, I look at inflammation in the body, hair loss, dry or thinning hair. loss of the eyebrow hair, chronic fatigue, brain fog, or reduced mental clarity. Anxiety and depression are a big part of it. And then, of course, you can have muscle aches, joint pain, digestive distress, whether that's, you know, gas, bloating, constipation, even diarrhea. And then also you've got to look at sex hormone imbalances. That could be a lost period, a long period, a short period, mid-cycle spotting. And then, of course, I'm not sure if you had that, but the cold hands and feet and the cold intolerance is a big one, too.
Unbearable. Unbearable. It's awful.
It's so annoying. And it's not even just like it has to be cold. It's like literally all the time your hands are cold.
They're freezing right now. That's yes, fighting the good fight here, Lacey.
And then low heart rate. That's a big one, too.
Low heart rate. Okay. So pressure. Those of you who are listening to this and you're kind of going through your head, check. Now what? What's something that they might consider? Give us a little, you know, a couple options that they might consider taking the next step in terms of action.
Well, the first thing that you could do is really support stress management, because chronic stress is one of the biggest root causes of not only reduced thyroid function, but also lack of absorption, cellular hypothyroidism. So don't undereat. Don't be overworking yourself. Don't pour out of an empty cup. Make sure that you're getting adequate sleep and you're taking care of yourself. That's the first thing. I see a lot of hypothyroidism and subclinical hypothyroidism, honestly. I see it from undereating and overexercising. And that's easy to say, but women do it all the time. They're like, oh, but my friend only eats 1,400 calories. That's not normal. That's not normal.
Right. Actually, Lacey, let me ask you a quick opinion. What's your opinion or your experience with intermittent fasting when it comes to women and their thyroid?
You are just like up in there. So I'm a big fan of intermittent fasting. I have personally intermittent fast myself, and I do. I love it. It's very good for the immune system. It is very good for longevity, blood sugar control, inflammation, you name it. However, especially as women, we are prone to that impacting our cortisol more than men. So that can cause us to have thyroid and hormonal imbalances much easier than men. It's a stressor. Fasting is a stressor on your body. So could it help you? Yes. For many women, most women, fasting is actually detrimental to their hormones. So I always like to say everybody technically intermittent fasts, right? We go to sleep, we're not eating.
Yeah.
But for a woman, if you want to be better safe than sorry, don't go more than 14 hours without eating. 16 hours is pushing it, but try and keep, if you're going to do fasting, that 14 hour, you most likely, based on my own experience and clinical experience, as long as there's not cortisol dysregulation happening and your thyroid is healthy, you can do about a 14 hour fast. But if you have hypothyroidism or you have adrenal issues, don't do it at all.
There you go, guys. Okay, so if you're doing that and you're feeling like shit and you're thinking to yourself, but this is supposed to be this amazing thing. Maybe it is an amazing thing, but maybe you got to get your stress and your adrenals and your thyroid sorted out first.
Yeah.
And then
and I'll give an example. Like a lot of people with SIBO are told do some fasting, right? To help with the gut and to help with the healing process. But if you have hypothyroidism and high cortisol and you have SIBO, that's not going to help you. That's actually going to harm you and prevent you from healing. So fasting would not be right in your case.
Yeah. And now just for our listeners who maybe didn't, we've talked about intermittent fasting before on this show, but for those who might've missed it, can we just really briefly talk about what what intermittent fasting is in the context of how we're talking about it? Because I think there's a lot of confusion between intermittent fasting and then like fasting diets in general. So can we just briefly like concrete point out what we're talking about?
Do you want me to go?
Oh yeah, if you could, that would be great.
Okay. So I absolutely am a big fan of intermittent fasting, but intermittent should be done and used as a method and tool. What's happening is people are using intermittent fasting as not only okay for longevity and immune and all these potential health benefits with insulin sensitivity and fat mobilization, but they're using it as thinking that it's a way to lose weight while eating the same amount of calories. So they're using it as a weight loss diet. Intermittent fasting is a tool to diet, but it is not how to diet. So there are different types of fasting. I know, like mind blowing. Woo! The tool, the way to do it. There's different types of intermittent fasting. There's the 16-8 hour. We have the 12-12. We have the 5-2, in which there, you know, some people are fasting 2 days out of the week and then going 5 days normal. There are so many different ways to intermittent fast. But the thing is, fasting should be used as that tool and that method, not as a way to strictly lose weight, in my opinion.
It's not a quick fix to your problem. It can't be treated that way. It has to be used intentionally and with some sort of understanding and knowledge behind why you're doing it, right? There needs to be some sort of, you know, paradigm.
And the literature shows us that IF, intermittent fasting, doesn't show a benefit for fat loss over eating a normal diet when in a caloric deficit.
Okay, ooh, we're getting off the deep end now.
You guys should know, you know, when we're talking about the thyroid, that just circles back. Intermittent fasting is a stressor, and that can cause you to be in a hypothyroid state. Now, if you're too much in a caloric deficit for a long period of time, that ultimately can also induce a hypothyroid state. So I don't know if you guys know bodybuilders, chronic competitors. Oh, yeah. That's a big issue for them. They're like, why am I hypothyroid? I'm like, you did contest prep for like 2 years. Yeah. That's why.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The chronic dieters come to mind too. The chronic, you know, the yo-yo dieters, and I mean, that's maybe not the right term, but people who consistently for long periods of time are trying
to lose weight. On and off.
Yeah, with calorie deficit and things. So this actually brings me to my other question that I am just dying to know from you, Lacey, that I think a lot of people could benefit from, because on the topic of stress management, and you know that I work with people specifically who have acne, and so obviously stress management is a big part of that too, and we do sometimes come up, there's some thyroid things that come up as a result of that. Mm-hmm. But what I get, and I don't know if you get this in your practice a lot, because I'm sure you talk about obviously stress management with your clients, is I get two complaints a lot, and I feel for them and I empathize, because I at one point felt the same way. But what do you say to people who either A, don't realize that they're stressed because of like the way that we live our modern life, right? Like busyness in general could be considered stress to people if they're really busy and not adequately taking time to rest. And the other thing is, situation that I see is people who don't really resonate with things like meditation and think like your typical stress management tool. So my question to you is, what do you say to those people? Maybe they have thyroid issues. Maybe they have other, I mean, everybody has a reason to manage their stress. It's good in general. But for our listeners, if any of them feel like they fall into that category, what do you say to those people?
Well, I fall into that category. So I totally understand. Yeah. People are like, do yoga, meditate. Yeah. I'm like, shut up. It's not going to work. So I totally get that. And that's where like you talk to people and you ask, I literally say, okay, what helps you relax? Mm. A lot of people don't understand that they're stressed until the stress bucket overflows and they just want to cry and hide in a hole. Right. Mm-hmm. So I like to have ongoing conversations with my clients being like, okay, what obstacles do you potentially see in your way? What's adding to your life right now? What's draining from your life? We want to make sure that we're not just like a faucet into people in which we're constantly dripping and just draining the water. We want to make sure we have the cup in there and we're getting all and filling up our cup. So when it comes down to like stress management, it could be a variety of different things, but anything and everything from journaling to reading to prayer to walking, I like to say there's a lot of options.
Awesome.
You just have to find it.
Yeah.
Okay. And most people say they're not stressed. They're like, oh, I'm not stressed. I'm like, no, you are. You just have to do internal work to really figure out where that is coming from. Because if you have symptoms, you're stressed.
Yeah.
Right. If you're a human being alive in the last 2 years specifically, you're stressed.
I just said yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say I'm tired of living through like major world events. Like,
right.
I'm all set, guys. Yeah. I feel that. We're all get it together. What were you going to say? Let's hear it.
I was going to say a lot of, it's really sad, but a lot of the people that I have worked with that feel like they're okay and they're not stressed they do have internal trauma that they block away and they refuse to dive into, and it holds them back from healing. Mm-hmm. And so it really takes, some people are like really hesitant, but I tend to be pushy and I'm like, you need to talk to somebody. You need to see a therapist. I know you feel okay, but that could be a huge part of your healing process. And so I've found that things like acupuncture and sauna therapy, forced relaxations can be very helpful in that. Or DNRF, things like that.
Oh, I love that term, forced relaxation. That's like, I think a lot of us could use that. And all the things that you said sound lovely.
You know, I'm going to just take a quick second here and really highlight what you said about the trauma piece. Mm. I see this so much. And I think I see it because I experienced it. And I also was in the same position, Lacey, where, you know, you think, especially if you're somebody who has had a traumatic experience happen when you were very young, your whole entire life, all you've known is the existence with that trauma. So it doesn't seem like it really impacts you because it's familiar. But just because something is familiar does not mean that it's normal or okay or not problematic. And, I mean, I think I'm personally only scratching the surface with some of the stuff. And even that little scratch, it just opens up so much potential that for healing, I mean. And I don't even mean with the trauma physically. Mm. You know, it's important to remember that our bodies hold trauma.
The body keeps the score. It's the reason why that's a book.
That's right. Always. And so if that's ringing true for some of you and it feels a little raw, I encourage you to kind of, you know, take that invitation and explore it a little bit, because it really could be your on-ramp to your, you know, everybody comes at their healing journey from a little bit of a different angle, and perhaps that's yours. Don't forget that that's a part of it. I see this in a lot of people that I have too. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Lacey, your book, is there, I mean, everybody should read your book for sure, but just
talk to us about the book. Yeah.
Tell us about the book. What's in the book. Tell us about what tools our listeners could use, to help them on their journey if they're feeling like from the book and things like that.
Yeah, so my book is The Women's Guide to Hormonal Harmony, How to Rebalance Your Hormones, Master Your Metabolism, and Become the Boss of Your Own Body. So I have a lot of chapters in here, anything from mastering your symphony, helping hormonal chaos, to talking about, you know, your gut, how to heal your gut from SIBO, Candida, the cortisol connection, thyroid 101. There's literally a chapter. I put every ounce of knowledge that I could think of into this book, to the point where I've actually gotten reviews to where people are like, this is so hard to understand. There's too much information. Like, that's it. Literally says in my book, in my introduction, there's too much information for a reason. And I'm not sorry.
Right.
So
good. Yes.
There is a database. That's why I made the book. As much information as possible. That way women can understand their metabolism, their bodies, their hormones, everything with what impacts their overall health and, of course, what they look like and how they feel in their body. So I have that, The Women's Guide to Hormonal Harmony. And then other than that, I mean, I also am developing, I know I already told you guys, a supplement line that I'm super excited about. That's Nourish Well Nutrition. And that has been all formulated by me, all these incredible dietary supplements to help people to really nourish their bodies from the inside out. And I'm really excited because third-party tested, UL tested, certified, NSF certified, you name it. I put a lot of my love and life into these, and I'm very excited to be able to share these with the world, because I know there's a lot of things we can do with diet, and I'm all about diet first, lifestyle first, but supplements can give you that extra oomph and healing.
They do. Sometimes you're just too far down the rabbit hole. You're not going to eat your way out of something, you know? You're not going to eat your way out of a parasite, for example. It's not going to happen.
Lacey, just so that our listeners know, the importance of third-party testing and NSF certified is, well, especially in relation to thyroid health and gut health and everything else, is there's a lot of toxins that we take in from our environment, including supplements that are not third-party tested, that are not NSF certified, including foods and certain, like, canned and packaged stuff and things like that. So did I get everything as the far as the, like, what third-party testing means and why it's important and why that sets your supplements apart?
Yeah, because we're talking about not only third-party testing, but, I mean, for me, it's identity testing. It's heavy metal testing. It's microbial analysis testing, making sure that what you buy is what you get. And that's essentially third-party testing is ensuring that, because you can get a certificate analysis from the company that makes your products, but that's one analysis. And by doing a third-party test, you're making sure that somebody who is not biased to that production process is testing and ensuring you are getting what you're getting and you are not getting what you don't want in your supplements too. And just people know, this is kind of disgusting, and I figured this out the hard way. When I was trying to find a manufacturer, I know it's gross. They legally don't have to do any heavy metal testing. And they don't legally have to do third-party testing. So, like, I would go to a manufacturer and they'd be like, oh, yeah, we can lower the cost by not doing the heavy metal testing. And I'm like, why would you do that?
Oh, my gosh. It's almost like they're encouraged not to do the third party testing. And so did you guys see that report a while back, the Consumer Reports, where they tested a bunch of different supplements from, like, Target, and they saw that.
Did you guys see First Form?
Oh, my gosh. No. What is
that? I'll happily throw companies under the bus if I need to. Yeah, they got caught with heavy metals and their greens powders, and I believe their protein powders as well.
I know people.
Yeah. I know. I put a huge notice to all my clients, and I was like, come off of it. If you're taking it, come off of it.
I want to say something here, and Lacey, tell me if you disagree with this. You guys, when it comes to supplements, you get what you pay for. Amen. If you are buying a buy one, get one free multivitamin, you are peeing everything out. Your body's not absorbing it. That product is probably made for a penny because there's no testing. They can put whatever they want on the label. Do not waste your money. And most importantly, this, I feel so called to bring this to people's attention. Do not be the person that gets taken advantage of. The marketing that these companies have behind them. And this goes for food too, right? But we'll get into that another time. Be the person that gets taken advantage of. Be intelligent about it. You know, this, even if people are doing things for well-intended reasons, you got to know what you're trying to use to heal yourself with. Because you come at this with such good intentions, and for you then to be taken advantage of because you don't know what questions to ask, what a shame. It's putting you behind when you're already in the mode and in the zone to really heal. And it's just such a shame the way that people can be taken advantage of. It burns me. It really does. So take a look at what Lacey is going to be sharing with us. We'll put all that information in the show notes for you. And then please, I'm going to put this out there. I hope it's okay, Lacey. Don't feel hesitant to reach out to her. She'd be thrilled to talk to you about it. Am I wrong?
Oh, I love having a chat and helping anybody. It's my Achilles heel.
Well, that's what we're here to do, right? Yeah. Share and serve.
So just before we hop off here, Lacey, do you want to throw out your Instagram handle or your we're going to be listing your website for your supplements. But is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners as far as where they can reach you and how they can learn more about you?
Yeah, if you want to chat with me, connect with me, you can follow me on Instagram at Faith and Fit. If you're a fellow Twitter person, I am at Lacey A. Dunn. I like to share research articles and new science if you're a nerd that way. But that's how you can reach me. And then my website is upliftfitnutrition.com. And you guys, thank you so much for having me on. You guys are such a bundle of joy, and it's been a great conversation.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you so much for coming, Lacey.
Absolutely. You're so welcome. We will talk to you soon when you have more to share with us about your supplements. And we will be your biggest fans. We can't wait to share more about it, honestly. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. And enjoy the rest of your days.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
Wow. Wow.
Love her. I really do. I wish that we could meet these people in person, because I think that would be, I think we would have a lot more friends. I think we'd have a lot more friends.
You know what? All our listeners who are listening, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and review so that Kylie and I get very popular. The podcast blows up and then we can do these meetings in person and maybe like, maybe even like do like a live recording or something where you all are. We could all record, you know, like that would be
so great.
Yeah. So make sure you leave us a review, but let us know what you think of the episode. I'm floored.
I'm so happy for her supplement line. You know what? Yeah. Dietitians should be in the supplement field. We know the research. We use the products. We know why they work. We know why they're not working. We know how to tweak things like that. It just, we are the profession that should be in the field. I'm so thrilled. And you know what? I actually, there's a few of my colleagues that I know who are into that. And it's very encouraging and inspiring. I think it makes me feel hopeful for people because there is some good stuff coming out. There really is. And it's such a service. And I think that people, and I understand why, they see the price sometimes and they think, man, these people are just trying to make a buck. Mm. But when you really look at it, the companies, the markup on the really good stuff is so much lower. It's so much lower than what the really cheap supplements are because they're being made for literally pennies and then like 1,000% markup. But when people who know what they're talking about and really value the fact that the product is actually going to help you, they're not making as much money on it. They're putting more money into the product. And I'm so excited for her. I can't wait to just help support. That's going to be great. It's going to be so great.
I agree. So I think my takeaways from this episode, the first thing, and a nice segue into what you were just talking about, is just a really, really good reminder about to our listeners about the quality of supplements. And again, you get what you pay for. And, you know, it's not to say that if some of these supplements are outrageously expensive. So, of course, it's not to say, like, if you can't afford the really, really expensive ones, don't think that others are not going to help, but work with a knowledgeable practitioner who can help guide on that front. So
that is so well said.
Yeah, just like, you know, nice, you can find a good happy medium, but you really just want to be working with someone who knows you and knows the supplements and which ones are third party testing, which ones have these random lawsuits for contamination and whatnot. So that was a big one for me. But then another one, again, is just a reminder about how easy it is to just sort of like scoot by in life thinking you're not stressed, but then not realizing that just living a modern life, like you said, in the middle of a pandemic, post, you know, 9/11, post all these things that we've experienced, just trying to live a normal life, it's stressful. And being around technology all the time can be really loud. And so it's just a good reminder how easily your everyday habits and environment can negatively possibly impact your health, such as your thyroid. So those were the big ones for me. What were your biggest takeaways?
I think that's really great. Here's the thing for me, and this never ceases to be so incredible. The body is so amazing. There is not one thing that you can disrupt without causing a waterfall of other impacts, positive or negative, right? So what that means is like you get too stressed and then you get sick on top of that. And now all of a sudden your world falls apart. We have all been there, right?
We have
all been there. And then you think like, how could I possibly be that fragile? Well, you're not that fragile.
Yeah.
It's just that these layers have been increasing and piling up for so long. It's normal. Well,
not normal.
That's right. That's what it was. That's what Rose was saying. Exactly. It's common, but it's not okay. I guess my mixed message here is to say you're not alone and you're not special either. Like this is a thing that happens and there are ways out of it. Yeah. And in the most supportive way, it's nothing special. What it means too is that there are so many, as I was saying before, so many on-ramps that might feel like the most supportive starting point for you. So if that happens to be your thyroid, go for it. If it happens to be your gut health, start there. If it's your stress, start there. If it's therapy for some trauma, start there. It just sort of opens up the window a little bit and it gives you options. And man, isn't that what we need when we're feeling like everything around us is falling apart and you can't do anything? Yeah, you want to know that there, you still have some control. Your life is still in your hands. And I want to remind you guys of that because this conversation was very overwhelming. There was a lot of hormones, a lot of labs, a lot of, you know, having to have difficult conversations with providers that maybe are not open to those conversations. And that stuff is hard. It can be really, really challenging. I've experienced it myself. It's really hard. And so I just wanted to kind of bring this down again, bring it back down. You don't need to know all the ins and outs and all the details. All you need to take away from this is to know that you have options and that there are people who exist that care about you, who give a shit, and who will take the deep dive and who will be open to you asking questions. So if you don't have those people or one of those people on your team, let yourself be open to somebody coming in to fill that void, because you only need one. Mm-hmm. You only need one to get you started. And like I said, right, Meg, that could be a therapist. Mm-hmm. It could be gut health. It could be an awesome doctor. It could be a PA. It could be a dietitian. It could just be a friend who's going to like hold space and listen to you, depending on where you want to start attacking this. But, you know, it's all connected.
I also think that team member that you're speaking of could also be a resource, like Lacey's book, or there's so many good books out there, like about this topic. So just, you know, I think a good, to your point, a good ending summary sort of point about where to start so our listeners don't feel so overwhelmed is, like you said, pick a place to start. You know, maybe it's a
starting point.
Yeah, we've given you a lot of options, a lot of tools and directions in this episode. And I'm thrilled. So what are you going to do for your stress management this week, Kylie?
You know what? I have been on a roll with meditating. I really have I set this little setup where I 15 minutes, right? I don't like shoot for the moon, 15 minutes, five days a week. And then if there is a day, one of those 5 days that I don't meditate, for each day that I miss in a week, I owe myself 30 push-ups.
Ooh.
Right? Which I fucking hate doing. I love to work out. I love to lift weights. Doing push-ups. Have Brian is holding me accountable. This whole setup is through the Handel group. If anybody want a little shout out for you guys, if you want to look that up, it is very, very useful. It's very impactful. Anything to have 15 minutes to avoid 30 push-ups. Yes, done.
Done. Yeah.
So I've been doing that. And every morning I get up and I go for a little walk. Sometimes it's a little longer and sometimes it's just 10 or 15 minutes around the block, but it sets my day up.
Oh, that's amazing. That is really amazing. Great. So I've started this already, but I think it fits in really nicely with this conversation. Is when my sister was here visiting, we kind of got into the habit, because she's on East Coast time, right? So she was up at like 4 or 5 a.m. and that I got up a little early to spend time with her. And we got into the habit of just going to like walking to the beach and just like sitting with a cup of coffee. And you know what's crazy though, Kylie, is like I thought to myself, I was like, what have I been doing? Like, this is why I moved here. And this is why I was so picky about the location. It's like, I wanted to be close to the beach and I never go. I'm like, what am I doing? Well, that's not true. I don't never go, but there's just something so peaceful about the beach. It's Waikiki Beach. So for those of you who are not familiar with the island of Oahu and Hawaii, it is the most populated beach probably on this island. There's always people on it, but at like 6 to 7:30 a.m. in the morning, it's got this very chill vibe, and like the sand is still cool. So if you dig your, I like literally dig my hands and feet in the sand and just like sit there. But what I wanted to point out about this, because I understand like not all of us have access to the same things for stress management. So I don't want it to feel like, oh, she lives near the beach, so of course she's going to be like able to do those things. It's not that. I'll tell you what it was for me is that I figured out what it was that actually helped elicit a response in me. And so what I mean by that is like walking along the beach doesn't always do it for me, because it's like I'm moving. I can't really relax. I'm not really totally present in the moment, because I'm like watching people and figuring out, you know, like dot, you know, whatever, all the things. I'm doing something. But for some reason, walking to the beach and sitting, so I call them like beach sits, not really beach walks, that did it for me. So if you have a stress management thing at home that you've been working on and you're like, oh, well, this doesn't really seem to do it for me, figure out how you can tweak it. Like, what is it that you're looking for? And I think this could be accessible in any environment. It's just the big message is like, it could be the tiniest thing. And for me, it was not walking, but sitting. That's it.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. And I'm gonna echo what you're saying here. You live by the beach, and other people who live near water would, that's great. I'm in the middle of DC. Mm-hmm. This is a stressful environment, if you know, arguably. And so a little morning walk, you know, I live for slow mornings. I really do. Oh, I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that I make my own schedule. I say that I am grateful for that every damn morning. I really am. It's such a huge. Yeah. So maybe that's not the thing for you, but maybe there's another part of your day. I think the idea here is don't forget that you can only be as awesome as you allow yourself to be taken care of. We live in this weird culture, right? I know.
I felt that in my bones.
Ooh. People get this craze, and I'm saying this because I recognize it in myself too, this craze for like the busier you are.
The hustle culture.
Yeah, the better you are, and the more, and whatever, like if you like to hustle, you do you, that's great. Mm. But if that is not a way that you are able to support your actual deep well-being, like fuck it then. And I'm telling you, every time I speak to one of my professional friends who's like, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I have this and I almost have no time and look at my schedule, I'm like, oh my god, I'm failing, I'm a failure, I can't do anything, I can't possibly do enough. It's awful. Like, where did we learn that? That's another conversation.
That's a point whole other being conversation.
But, point being, you deserve to take care of yourself in the way that you need to be taken care of. And, you know, like, maybe ask yourself what that looks like. Because I bet nobody's asked you.
That's an excellent point. And I think this is a good place. I think we've talked enough.
I'm done. I'm done hearing myself talk.
I'm sure our listeners are done hearing us too. They're like, guys, this is enough. It's time to end. So anyway.
I tuned out 10 minutes ago. That's what they're thinking.
If they've even gotten this far, let us know guys, if you like these little recaps that Kylie and I did this time. Let us know if you want us to continue, or some other ideas that we've kind of bounced around are maybe reading your health what the fuck moments and chatting about them at the end of the show. So let us know what ideas you like and what you like to hear, and we'll try a few of them out and see what's happening.
I love it.
All right, Kylie.
Until next time.
See you later. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Curious Women. If you love our show, you can support us by leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And if you know someone else who would really love our show, please share it with them too.